Welcome to the Practice Brave podcast. I am the host, Brianna Battles, founder of Pregnancy and Postpartum Athleticism and CEO of Everyday Battles. I'm a career strength and conditioning coach, entrepreneur, mom of two wild little boys, and a lifelong athlete. I believe that athleticism does not end when motherhood begins, and this podcast is dedicated to coaching you by providing meaningful conversations, insights, and interview topics related to fitness, mindset, parenting, and of course, all the nuances of pregnancy and postpartum. From expert interviews to engaging conversations and reflections, this podcast is your trustworthy, relatable resource for learning how to practice brave through every season in your life. I'm hosting a free workshop on April 23rd for coaches, practitioners, and honestly, any athlete who wants to better understand their training during pregnancy and postpartum. It is called The Three Key Considerations for Coaching Pregnant and Postpartum Athletes. And it's going to be about 90 minutes where I will be teaching on a lot of different things, including why pregnancy and postpartum is not a temporary season, some of the misconceptions that we see in the medical and fitness community, and the three biggest elements that I feel that coaches really need to understand about athletes. So I'd love to see you there live. It's a lot of fun to kind of like have this conversation. We have a great Q&A opportunity at the end, and the comment section is always really fun. Sometimes my mom even chimes in and likes to kind of troll me in the comment section. So I know so many people love that part of it, but I would love to have you there so that you can learn a couple things about training during pregnancy and postpartum or coaching people who are navigating these seasons with core pelvic health and long-term athletic performance in mind. So I will have a link added here to the show notes for you to sign up. Again, I'd love to have you there. It's totally free. And even if you can't make it live, you can go ahead and sign up and a replay will be sent. Hope to see you there. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Practice Brave podcast. Today I am here with Annie Thor's daughter, and she likely needs no introduction. She's one of the OG CrossFit athletes who's been in the game for a long, long time. And I'm excited today to talk to her about how her training is going now that she is pregnant with her second baby. If you missed it, Annie was on the podcast a while ago, episode 94, talking about what her first pregnancy, birth, delivery, and postpartum recovery had been like. And I know it resonated with so many of you. So if you have not listened to that episode, episode 94 would be a really great place to start. But I'm excited to talk to you round two today. Annie, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. So give us a little bit of a rundown. Like, how pregnant are you right now? How are you feeling? What has life been like lately?
Well, I'm very pregnant right now. I am 35 weeks, so getting closer to finishing. I got my little one next to me because I messed up the time slightly and there was no daycare today. But she's good. She never really gets to watch anything, so I think she's pretty excited. But yeah, it's definitely been harder than first pregnancy. I've heard that like second pregnancy is usually a little bit harder and things happen faster. And I definitely felt like that. Like, I felt like I was like 2-3 weeks ahead of what I was last time with like regards to showing and feeling things. But then life is also just busier than it was with my first pregnancy. So carrying her was through COVID and we were at the summer house and I only had to focus on me and my training and recovery so I could train and I could sleep in if I wanted to and work when it fitted into my schedule. And now it's like you're up early, you have a little one, you get your day going and I'm working on a lot of different projects at the same time. We were launching like a training program for menopausal women. I'm writing a book and where we were moving. Sorry, she wants to change the language into Danish. So we have a lot of different languages that we work with here. Sorry about that. I love that she really wants to practice her Danish. She's really good at Icelandic and English now, which is I've never heard a toddler speak English, like except for just like little here and there when we travel. And now she's like all in for learning Danish too, which is so cute.
So
but yes,
amazing.
So life. And then as soon as I pick her up, everything goes to the side and I play with her and I'm active with her. And it doesn't matter if I'm tired or not from training or whatever that is. It's like, it's really important to me that we have our time together. And then my second workday starts around 8 p.m., 8:30 when she goes to sleep. Then it's the phone meetings and the things that happen with the East Coast, West Coast, Australia, like getting all of that work done and then going to sleep. So my training has been significantly less than it was throughout my first pregnancy, I would say. But I'm still training once a day. Like I started with twice a day and then I was just like, no. It's just not happening. So once a day it is now.
Yeah, absolutely. And how is your body feeling through the second pregnancy? I know you said that, you know, you felt things a little bit earlier and sooner, and you're coming off of what was a pretty hard postpartum recovery. So how has your body been feeling through pregnancy, given what you experienced during your delivery and what your postpartum symptoms were?
I was actually like really nervous about that, especially because my pelvic floor took a very, very long time to recover and still not like it's nowhere. It's not what it used to be. And maybe it will never. Freya, get a
sweat. Come on. This is so relatable, by the way. Like every mom listening is like, yes, we understand. Please watch the iPad while we try to have any kind of conversation or do any work.
Yeah, so I was really nervous about my pelvic floor, but it's been amazing that it's actually been recovering continuously throughout my pregnancy, which is I could not have even believed someone that would tell me that. So I've continued to do my pelvic floor exercises, but I've also been very deliberate in doing my like recovery, so like getting into a child's pose. And I've definitely been feeling more fatigue, so I need to be more careful than I had to be with the first pregnancy. But even with like the open, I participated in the open and I could even do double unders there. I just break them up into 10s and I'm smart and I'm not trying to push anything. I'm not trying to do anything magical. I'm just maintaining, but I'm actually getting better. Like it used to be even before I got pregnant now. So just like doing the open and doing like when I was doing an open announcement or going on the floor for the games where we had double unders, what I did, right before the event, I would do my double unders, pee myself, have ready pants so I could change. And then I went out to the floor because it wasn't enough for me just to go to the bathroom. I had to like kind of, there's always something extra. I don't know why there's always extra.
There's always a reserve. It's such a like, yeah. It's just funny because I think people assume that, well, if I just pee before I work out or before I jump or before I lift, that like I won't pee when I'm lifting or when I'm jumping. But there's always a reserve. I feel like this is something to talk about.
Yes. So that's what I would do. Obviously, I didn't want to do that in training because I didn't want to be pushing always to like peeing myself. I was trying to make it just a little stronger. But competing and on camera and I'm competing, I don't want to be sliding in my own pee or whatever. I'm sorry if this grosses people out. But this is what I did. And then I could go to the floor and it wouldn't continue to happen. So at least I could get that out of my mind. But now it's been better. And it's insane. I stopped running very early on because I started feeling just like discomfort. Right. So I was like, I don't see why I push through something like that. And the same with just my training and adjustments, like a lot, I took out a lot of things quite early on. Also because I had a pretty bad like toning and separation after having my first child and that hadn't fully healed up and probably will never fully heal up. But I just want to be very aware of it. And I don't have to be then hanging from a pull-up bar and doing pull-ups. I can do so many like adjustments and I can continue to train really, really well without putting that strain. But I've definitely had to make different adjustments. And I kind of felt like I wanted to freak out quite early on because I had to quit like twice in my training because just something didn't feel right. Something was just hurting in like the ligaments or something. And then I was fine the day after and I could do the things that I didn't feel like I could do like a week later. I was fine doing it. So it's just been like a lot easier knowing that I can listen, like knowing what to look for. Yeah. In my body. But yeah, the pelvic floor, I am so grateful that I feel like I am still just tracking up. Who knows what happens after I give birth, but at least now I'm really, really happy.
Yeah, though I'm so glad that you're feeling pretty good, especially with managing what's been a pelvic floor injury after birth and having to just get a better idea of like what trigger symptoms and then knowing how to truly listen to your body, which I think everyone assumes when you're a high level athlete or when you've been training for a really long time that like we know how to listen to our body, but our bodies are so different during pregnancy. And it's kind of easy, especially with a first pregnancy, to just say, look, well, I can do it. Therefore, I'm going to keep doing it. And then I think there's a little bit more wisdom and body awareness that comes around either postpartum or with your second pregnancy where you're like, I have a lot more awareness of the changes my body's experiencing and what it actually needs versus just what my athletic ability is.
Yes, exactly. And maybe knowing that it's okay to take out some of the things that don't feel great, that there are substitutions and it's not going to make or break it. Like, it matters significantly more to me that I recover well after my pregnancy than how I'm training during my pregnancy. So it's more, yeah, I want to continue to feel strong. And I feel way worse if I don't train. Like, I feel so much heavier than I remember feeling carrying Freya, even though I'm actually lighter on the scale. I think I'm losing some muscle too. But it's just like, he's sitting lower. And sometimes I'm like, I feel like a little elephant walking around. Just like, I don't know what's going on. Everything just feels heavy. And whatever, but then I go training and I just feel lighter and more, what's the word, like nimble? Like, I'm able to move around more. I'm able to pick things up easier from the floor and get up and sit down again. I'm playing with her on the floor and getting up and sit down. It's like, it's different after I train, which is why it's so important to me to train almost every day. I have once a week where I have full rest day. And honestly, it's good for my body, but that's where I feel the heaviest.
Yeah. I get that. I think it's so important. Even like our workouts don't have to be really rigid. They don't have to be super intense or super heavy, but just like being able to keep moving through your pregnancy allows you to feel better in your body, even as it's structurally changing. It doesn't, like, I think we're so used to, especially in the CrossFit community, that if it's not really fast, really intense, or really heavy, then it's like not a quote good workout. But I think there's a lot of opportunity to kind of change your approach to training during pregnancy to kind of match whatever you have to give that day or what your body, your pelvic floor, abs need. And like you said, like you're actually feeling better with your symptoms, even though your body's changing. And I think it's so much of that has to do with just like changing your approach. Like your frequency is less, yes. Your volume is less, your intensity is less. So therefore it almost gives your body an opportunity to heal while still participating.
Exactly. And I kind of felt like actually when I was trying to do more CrossFit-y things or didn't want to change too many things or whatever it was, it felt like I was getting way less out of it.
Right.
Like, because it maybe didn't feel that like doing cleans or pulling from the floor, like it didn't feel that great to me. So I didn't want to be going that heavy. I didn't want to be doing it under intensity. So making those adjustments to just, okay, I'll just be going from blocks then. Right. It made me be able to move better, go heavier. So I felt like I was getting something out of it. And the same with like the workouts that I was doing, instead of trying to keep something in there where I was so hesitant and feeling like, is this right? Does this feel good? I am feeling a little something, instead of just having moments that make me feel good. Right. And then I feel like I can go and I feel like I can get the heavier breathing and just feel good in general. And instead of, because I remember that also carrying her, I would do a workout. And then afterwards I'd be like, oh my God, is everything okay? Did I do too much? Like, I don't know. Why don't I feel her moving right now? And did my heart rate go too high here? Or did I push too hard? It's like, there is no need to be feeling like this. Like, everything was always fine. It was always, I think I am more cautious than a lot of women that are training and going through their pregnancies. But it is also because I maybe have a harder time listening to my head when it's like, oh, now it's time to stop. So I like having a monitor. I like something telling me like, this is your line. This is how hard you can go. But this time around, I'm not as much like needing to keep. I stopped rowing very early on because I was getting coning when I was rowing and I was changing my form. And then I'm like, well, if I'm changing my form, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to bike instead. So like, it's been, I'm not going to say like easier, but it's been easier to adjust training to make me feel like I'm still doing things that are so good for me.
Right. No, I think that's such a testament to what I like to call like athletic maturity. And sometimes it takes, like, you've been an athlete for so long. You understand your body. You understand your training. You know how to, if you want to lift a certain weight, you know how to get there. But I think that it's almost like the approach to our training, especially when you become a mom, has an opportunity to like really mature. Our whole perspective changes on like what we're training for, what our body needs, and then knowing if this isn't like actually serving me, whether it's from an enjoyment standpoint or from a symptom or physicality standpoint, then like I have a lot of other options. We don't have to be so rigid in how we train or what we do. Like, we know as we get more mature, like that there's a lot of different options. We're not so like led by our own like egos or insecurities. We're able to like really kind of step outside that box. And I think so much of that athletic maturity gets acquired during pregnancy and postpartum for so many women.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And also just knowing like what I went through giving birth to her and was still able to come back from then and recover from then and being able to compete after then. That's like all that matters to do while I'm pregnant. It things that make me feel stronger, things that make me feel better, and things that make me hopefully recover quicker after giving birth as well. Yeah. Then I'm never, honestly, like while I was carrying Freya, yeah, it was in the back of my mind that I might compete again. I never really planned on competing again after I had her. So it wasn't like, I'm not talking from a professional athlete standpoint. I'm more talking from just like you getting yourself back again, you feeling like you again, you feeling like your body is strong again. And like that, it matters what you do throughout your pregnancy, but it also matters how you do the things throughout your pregnancy.
Right.
And that's kind of where I am right now. It's like, yeah, it matters to me that I do things for the right reason. It matters that I get the endorphin rush that I want to be getting. I can be working on my engine and my VO2 max and getting like that, yeah, the happy feeling that I get from training. And then it's just maintaining muscle and focusing on things that I can do really well, like working on my pelvic floor, working on my shoulders, working on my knee health, hip health, like all these different things that many times, especially when I'm in season, I can't focus on, I can't make better. And I think that's so important for, I think, everyone to have some sort of a goal, something that you feel like you're still like in some ways getting better at, even though you're not getting stronger or fitter, you're still improving something for yourself.
Yeah, and it's just like your priority of training changes and it's still a top priority. It's just a slightly different focus than like what you said it would be if you were in season training. Right now, you're kind of like in an off season or a deload season where things are a little bit different. You're still participating. You're still getting like the boxes checked of things that make you feel good, your dopamine, but like you're just kind of shifting around what your focus is or what your priority is. And I think you have a perspective that is so valuable for women to hear. And why I'm so grateful you've been really open, because, you know, everyone I think looks at you and professional athletes in general as like, they are so strong and they are so fit. Then they're going to have this kind of like, if I'm really fit, if I'm really experienced, I'm going to have this super easy delivery. I'm going to bounce back right away. And then I'm going to have like reach all of my goals. And while that can and does happen, birth doesn't discriminate, and nobody is exempt from a hard delivery. Nobody is exempt from pelvic floor symptoms. Nobody's exempt from diastasis. Like there's just so many different variables that influence these seasons of our life and so many things we don't have control over. And I love that you're able to shine a light on that as somebody who is so experienced, so athletic, so strong, so fit, and you had an incredible comeback story of going back to the games and having these incredible moments. But for those that don't know, like what you have actually been through, can you tell us like why you have this perspective now, like what your labor and delivery was like and what your first few months postpartum were really like? And again, we talk about this a lot on episode 94, so you don't have to go into it super detailed, but just so people have that perspective now.
So yeah, I had an incredible pregnancy, my first pregnancy, went super well, was able to train. I still started feeling like the separation and I adjusted my training, but I was feeling really good, like really good throughout. Then I was expecting like a very easy, not easy delivery, but I was expecting things to go well. I was expecting to recover fast. I like talked a little bit to Cara Webb. She's another CrossFitter, and she had her baby before me and she had come back so quickly. And I was just like, all right, how soon after are we able to start training for like do everything in your training? And she was like 6 weeks or something that she said to me. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like I'll be there like 4 weeks. And then hopefully in 6 weeks, I'll be able to do everything again. Like I can do that. I can do a month and a half, you know, because you also just want some time with your baby and relax and recover. But I don't think anyone can prepare you for what's to come, because like you said, everyone's experiences can be so different, but from everything that I had seen from social media and from around me was that things happened pretty darn fast. Like my sister-in-law, she was doing boot camp workouts and training again within 4 weeks from giving birth. And it's just like, that was what I was expecting, especially having such an amazing pregnancy, being so fit throughout my pregnancy and strong. I was like, this will be no big deal. And then I had a pretty traumatic birth. I was at the hospital dilating for 3 days. And then I was in the pushing phase for over 3 hours. She just was crooked, face up, and she wasn't popping down all the way. And I would say that I'm fairly strong when it comes to pushing as well, but it just wasn't happening. So we ended up in like the emergency room ready for like a C-section, emergency C-section, got like full numbing and got a few more chances to push, but she was also getting so lactic, but we ended up getting her with a suction cup. Both cutting, and then I tore the opposite direction. I lost over 2 liters of blood. She was very lactic when she came out, but I am going to thank my training and fitness and everything that we had done together, how quickly like she bounced back. Like it was incredible. Like they were so surprised how quickly it was, like everything was just fine. But that was also very traumatic to me, that I felt like I had put her through so much by wanting to give normal birth. But as a you're there for the first time. That was also what bothered me. I'm there for the, I don't know what to expect. You tell me as the doctor, you tell me if I shouldn't be pushing anymore, if I should be going for a C-section. Like, it's in Iceland, you don't get to just choose to go for C-sections. Like, I can't just be like, hey, I want a C-section. You don't get in. You go for a normal birth unless there's a very big reasoning for you needing a C-section. So it was never like an option. But obviously, looking back, decisions should have been made quicker and I should have been put into emergency C-section. Considering how everything went, it's fine. And that's all that matters is that I'm okay and my daughter is okay. Like, that's honestly all that mattered, was that she was okay at that point. Then Frederick went away with her and I went for stitching. That took over 2 hours of getting me stitched back together again. And then I finally got to see her and she was a freaking rock star, huge baby, so strong. And yeah, she was like 8.5, 9 pounds. And just so strong, could lift her neck. And like, it didn't feel like I just had this crazy, fragile kid. She was able to take breast immediately. So that was like a fairy tale, everything with her. But I was kind of another story. So I am just so grateful that things were so good with her, because otherwise I don't know where I would be. Like, it would have taken me even longer. I would have blamed myself for so many different things if she would have taken longer to recover. But yeah, so she was a dream baby. My recovery process was really, really rough. Actually, like a day after, well, I had to stay at the hospital for like 3 days. She graduated like half a day after, but we had to stay there with her too, or I had to stay there for longer because of all the blood I lost and how messed up I was. And then like I got to go home, but I couldn't, going from just being so strong and independent and just not being able to, not only I couldn't take care of myself, like I couldn't take a shower unless Frederick would stand there and be ready, because I couldn't stand for very long without feeling like I was passing out and I was just so weak. I didn't trust myself to be carrying her around. So she just like laid in my arms all the time. And that was the only time where I felt happy. And as soon as she wasn't in my arms, I just didn't feel happy. And just felt awful. And I've never understood depression until I got to that point. I just felt like I stopped seeing colors as clearly, and also just like not getting the endorphins that I'm used to. And I didn't sleep for, it was 5 or 6 days that I didn't sleep for. So that will definitely do it for you, right? So I finally managed to like pump and sleep for 3 hours. And then I started feeling a little bit better again. I obviously trusted Frederick with her for 3 hours to take care of her. And just, yeah, getting to sleep for those hours, it made me a new person. And then gradually going out of the apartment, just being able to get in the car and drive around a little bit, seeing that life continues, seeing that life goes on and we recover, and starting to realize that these were injuries that I had gone through. But yeah, my body took significantly longer to recover than anything I could have expected. My pelvic floor took forever to recover. Like I said, it still wasn't good. And I've done a lot of work. Like I went to see a pelvic floor specialist for like electric stim to just like find my muscles again. So it was just a constant pressure down on my pelvic floor. And I don't feel like it really started recovering until 6 months after birth. That's where I started recovering. I managed to sit on a bike sooner and started doing like my exercises, my recovery and rehab exercises, but like it was a very long time. I couldn't start running until 8 or 9 months after giving birth is when I started being able to run again. And that was just really like difficult to look around and seeing that mommy classes, and they were moving around doing like power cleans, snatches, jumping, running. And I'm just like, what is wrong with me? Like, am I the only person that doesn't recover from these things? And the same with my abdominals. I would say they were still recovering at the games. I was still recovering at the games. I don't think it was until Rogues in October. So obviously I don't know how I competed at the CrossFit Games that year. That was never the plan. It was just nice to have those goals to participate in the open, participate at quarters, participate at semis. And even like 2 weeks before the games, I wasn't really planning on competing at the games. It was more just like, these were small goals that kept me going. It kept me motivated. It kept me finding confidence in myself again, because I had gotten to a point where I was just so scared that nothing was ever going to recover, that I wouldn't be able to do a bar muscle up. And then a bar muscle up shows up a quarter. It's like, all right, let's see if I can do one. And then I could do 20. You know, it's just like these steps that you need to, the mental barriers you need to get over as well when you've been injured for that long. Still recovering and still recovering like the year after that. But I would say from the 6 months mark, that's where I finally started seeing some real changes. But even like, I think it was 2 months after giving birth, we were browsing for houses and I'm like carrying Freya around in her baby chair. And a woman is like, so how far along are you? I'm like, Jesus, like I was that large that obviously you should not ask that question, especially if you see a freaking baby in my hand. I cannot be that far along with a tiny baby. But like, it maybe gives a little bit of a perspective of what I looked like. It wasn't like I was fat. It wasn't like I gained an insane amount of weight. It was just, I was soft. And that's, I'm most likely going to be like that after this pregnancy as well. I get very large. I have a very big stomach. I think it's just genetics, like the muscle tissues just take longer going together and recovering. And that is just the way that it is.
We are all structurally built so differently, and some babies grow straight out. And like, I was also the same way, and I had 2 10-pound babies, and I'm like short, like there was no other place for them to go.
It's just
giant. It was like a watermelon belly. And it's just so funny to like look back now, because I'm like, how did they fit in?
Yeah.
It's right? Like our abs have to spread so much. Our bodies just continually change. And you know, that's kind of like a side point, but you know, you've obviously been through so much and you are carrying a perspective. And I would assume in some ways, like, are you feeling anxious about this upcoming delivery and postpartum recovery, or are you feeling like much better informed, or a little bit of both? Like, how are you feeling?
A little bit of both. Yeah. I think the only thing that really matters is, and every time I was struggling, it was, is there anything I would change?
Yeah.
And no, there's nothing I would change. Even if my body would look that different and be ruined in some ways, I'm not going to say ruined, but like,
it's different.
My body will never be the same as it was before I carried Freya.
Right.
And even if it takes me 2, 3, 4 years to recover fully from it, that's okay. It's still worth it. Like, I still would not change anything for having her. And it's going to be the same for him. I'm not going to want to change anything. I want this baby and I get to carry it and I get to create this life and I get to experience him kicking around and growing inside me. And yeah, it's going to be whatever it's going to be when you go through the delivery, but it is going to be worth it. And I think just knowing that is all that matters. Like, yes, I'm not saying it's not going to be hard, and I'm expecting it to be difficult as well when I'm feeling like I'm recovering so slowly, and maybe it's even going to be even slower this time around because it's the second time and my body might take longer than to heal from it. But just knowing I will have those downs, but I also know that I'm going to come back up again because there is literally nothing I would change. I want this baby. So I will go through whatever I need to go through to get in.
Yeah, there's just so much sacrifice involved in, you know, bringing a baby into this world, however they choose to come out. And you're just going in, I think, with, you know, at least how I felt. I had a really traumatic first birth, and my second birth, you know, yes, there was a lot of anxiety, but I also felt like, okay, I know, like, I'm just so much better prepared this time. Like, I thought I was prepared before, but the second birth, you know your body differently. You know, like, what you need to do maybe differently postpartum to help, you know, what the conversations you need to have with your doctor or your midwife or your partner, whoever it might be. Like, you just go in a slightly different human than you were the first time around. And I think that alone gives you a little bit of an edge.
Also, just exactly that. You feel a little bit more calm knowing that. It's obviously you're also a little bit anxious, maybe because of how everything went the first time around. But I think what throughout like the middle part of my pregnancy, I started being like more anxious about how I felt like after giving birth and how destroyed I was. Not me going through it, but more that now I have her and I don't want her to suffer because I'm not able to be there for her. You know what I mean? So I think that scares me significantly more than how I might feel, because I don't want her to resent the new baby or see me so broken. But I also have a feeling, having gone through it once, I know I won't go there. And having her, I think it's almost impossible to go there. But just knowing the signs, like you said, and what to expect, and knowing how important it is to sleep and trust your partner to take the wheel as well. And maybe the anxiety of having the firstborn versus the second one, I'm really hoping I'll calm the F down a little bit more, because I was like, you love your baby so much. It's like, I was a little crazy, just constantly checking. I had like the snooze to make sure that she was breathing, and always like, I wanted to wake up every hour to just like make sure that she was okay. And now I hope I'll still have the snooze. I still have everything that is going to help me stay calm, but I also have a feeling that I'll be more calm this time around, because I can't be the way I was before. Also, for my partner's sake and for Freya's sake, I do think I'm a lot calmer person than I was when I had her. You just feel like, it felt like weird walking out of the hospital, right? With your first kid, you felt like you were stealing something. You're like, is this mine? Like, do I just get to take this? Do I need a license? Do I need to like show a report?
Can we take a test? I don't think I'm ready.
Yeah. I'm like, how do you know that people are ready that just have their babies? Like, what? So I think this time around, you'll feel a little bit more prepared and a little bit more ready, but I also have a little bit different plan. If things are not going the right way, I have the right now to go for a C-section. So it is. And then rather than pushing through something stupid, we will then just go for that. Okay. And I wouldn't be doing that for myself. I would be doing that for Freya's sake.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just so many decisions and choices that that come up, and variables that influence what delivery is like, what that whole process is. And as long as you are able to have that open dialogue and feel supported by your doctor, by your partner, then I think, you know, it's feeling informed. Like, I think that's like the goal, is to go in and feel like, I know what I want. I know what I need. Like, everybody's on the same page. Cause it's so hard when, you know, I feel like when you've gone through a traumatic experience where you're like, why didn't anyone tell me this could happen? Or why didn't they do this? Or why didn't I know about that? And like, you're just almost like pissed that you didn't know, or you didn't have control. And I think that there's a little bit more of a feeling of control, because now you at least know. You know what to be aware of. You know what you don't know. You know what questions to ask. You know what, you know how you want to feel. And I know one thing, I had an emergency C-section with Cade, and then with my second one, I had a repeat cesarean. It was like a gentle C-section. But I think one thing that I just kept telling myself was like, it's not about how my babies come out of my body. It is how I feel in that environment. It's how I feel as a human during those experiences. And I didn't ever want to feel like that again. I wanted to feel different. Yeah. It had nothing to do with how my baby came out of me. It was just more like how I felt in that moment. And that was a huge perspective shift. And then so much of that just has to do with like feeling informed, having these conversations, and just knowing a little bit more that second time around.
Exactly. Because then you feel like you can actually have an opinion on things. Yeah. First time around, it's really hard to do. And it's not like I had like this checklist, like I wanted this and I wanted that. And I was against medicine, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with it because I'm going to listen to my body. I'm going to listen to the nurses and the doctors. And that's what I did. Thankfully, I didn't have a different plan. We would have gone out of that plan many times. But now I actually do feel like I have a little bit more of a plan, because I do feel like I have a plan A, I have a plan B, and I have a plan C. And like, that's how I like going into things, just with a little bit more knowledge.
Absolutely. And you'll be, you know, like how you have adjusted your training through pregnancy this time around, your more awareness around what your core needs and your pelvic floor exercises, all of those things are going to set you up for a different and hopefully better postpartum recovery than what you had before, because your baseline is just different. Your knowledge is different. Your approach has been different. No matter what happens, we know that it won't be exactly the same. And I think that that gives you a little bit more like freedom and grace to just kind of embrace what's to come, knowing that no matter what, it won't be the same experience because you are not the same person anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I'm at least, I feel a lot more calmer, even though I had that kind of experience.
Right. And you got the support around you. You know, you work with pelvic floor physical therapists. Of course, I'm here to help you however I can. And do you have any performance goals postpartum, or is it just too early to say? What do you want your life to look like on the other side?
Too early to say anything, but I don't know. I'm going to want to feel like I am strong again. Yeah. And that's what I'm going to want, but I'm in no rush to get there. I got there very slowly last time, and hopefully it won't be as long this time around, but even if it will be, I know that I'll get there. And that's my goal, to just get there. And I also realized that having two children will be different training wise and getting to feel myself again than having one child. Like, it will just be different, and I'm ready for that. Like, I'm making sure that I'm mentally like knowing that as well going into it. So, but my goal is to feel strong again, control of my body and my mind the way that I did. That's so important to me. It's such a big a part of who I am and what I want my children to see. And then I don't see, if I want to compete again, I don't see why I wouldn't compete again. If I don't want to, there is zero pressure.
Right.
I will do what feels right for me my family.
I love that. And I love what you had said in the first time we recorded a podcast, where you were like, CrossFit will always be there for me, but like, you want to feel like you're training for the quality of life and how you feel. And so you can be an active mom. And I just thought that was such a refreshing perspective as somebody who, you know, you are so accomplished as a CrossFit athlete, and you're still able to say like, but it's not just about CrossFit. It's just about how I feel and the quality of life I can have through fitness, through my body, and being involved in that way, no matter what it looks like CrossFit games or competitions, or just like participating in fitness for the rest of your life. And I just thought that was like, that was just really beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. That's exactly where I'm at.
Well, I think it's a great place to be. And this is such powerful perspective for people to hear and listen to. And I'm so grateful that you shared your story. So tell us, you do have a few projects going on. What are you working on behind the scenes? What are you trying to get launched as you grow your brand overall?
Wow. Well, there's a lot of things that I've just been like very passionate about and wanted to do. And my head has been like all over on what I can do. And especially like after having it, it changed quite a bit after having a kid. You try to think, how can I make the world a better place? What is it that matters? Like, what am I doing with my life that can make this world better? Mm-hmm. And obviously, I want to be a good role model. And that's always something that I wanted to do. And even more so after having children, I want them to, I don't want to just preach something. I want to live the way that, that I will be preaching in without putting pressure on them. But so I've been all over with things I want to do. But the first thing that we went into was launching a program for menopausal women. And I think that's quite funny because I'm like pregnant and I'm doing it with Katrin. She's like competing at the games and all of that. But like going through COVID, I saw how much my mom was struggling and with just like different things and like trying to lose some weight and get stronger. And then I feel like I know a lot about these things, but I wasn't able to help her the way I wanted to. And she and my dad followed the same program. My dad was just like getting a six pack through COVID and so fit. And my mom was seeing very little. She felt better, but very little difference in like physique, especially compared to him. So I was like, okay, there's something I don't know. So I dove all in for menopause and studied it and did courses from like Dr. Stacey Sims. And I was able to help her. And I saw the changes that how it changed her life. And it's been amazing. And so many at my gym started reaching out and asking what had been going on, like what we have been doing. So it became this thing that, like Empower by Daughter, a program that we just launched now in February, beginning March, for women that are going through menopause. And I'm hoping that that platform will in the future just become like a hub for women, because we just need more information. Like, I was so surprised. I started studying my body a little bit more after I found, after I had a heat stroke in 2015 at the CrossFit Games. I found Dr. Stacey Sims and she was helping me out with my heat training. And it was so different for me compared to my partner and Björkvin. So it was like, wow, women are just different. So I started studying around the cycle and how to train better on my cycle and where to compete. And Kat didn't even know this until like 2 or 3 years ago. And I'm like, oh my God, we're like high level athletes and we don't know this. What about women just in general and girls that are starting their periods and then quitting their sports because they're not getting the assistance that they need and the openness and the talk about it and their coaches don't know that much about it and what to do to make them feel better and stay in their sports? Because we also see if you don't stay in your sport, you're more likely to drop out of school sooner and like lose some of those really good friend groups that you create and how you mature through sports and you get your so much confidence. And I think it's so important for young girls. So I'm hoping that gradually we can make this into just like a great hub for something like that. But yeah, so that's one of the projects. And then after I had Freya, it was also, I got like obsessed with just poison and chemicals that are surrounding us. And like what things, when I was pregnant, like what things I was using, creams and makeups and hair products and stuff. So I stopped using like all perfumes and just like things that can affect your baby and your uterus. You can, there are things out there. It's just like you didn't know or I didn't know. So yeah, I dove in pretty deep on some of those things and I'm trying to make more educated decisions and when it came to then, yeah, creams and stuff that you put on your body. And especially then after I had Freya, and you have your babies that are like on your face and licking you, and they're getting like, their tiny little bodies can handle the same amount of poison as we maybe be able to handle. And it was very interesting to me that in Denmark, for example, it just seemed like a well-known, no one goes and gets their hair colored when they're pregnant. It's like, no one would do that. That was something I didn't even know. Like, and it seemed like they were just further ahead when it came to a lot of those things. So I like started, yeah, diving into what products to use, whatnot. And I had a really hard time finding a sunscreen that I wanted to use for Freya. And I tended to buy like in the States, some of the like clean products there. And then when I started reading about it, they're like, shit. Like, and it's so frustrating. So actually, where we have now over the past year and a half been developing a sunscreen that is like safe, that I feel comfortable with using, and like going, obviously this is with chemists that are specialized in sun care product, but things that were bothering me and Kat, which is like being afraid of the different products. So that's something that we've been developing. I'm writing a book right now. Have been for the past year. So yeah, a lot of things for the past year. It's a lot of projects. And we just moved into our house. So I'm like, now I'm finally starting to feel I have a little bit of control over all the things that we've been doing. It's been a lot of work over the past year, but a lot of projects that I've been like quite passionate about wanting to do. Awesome. So exciting.
Very clear that you are a high performing human in like every category of life. You're an incredible athlete, coach, entrepreneur. And I think you're just doing so much for women in so many different ways. And I'm so grateful for this conversation, for our friendship, and for just you putting this, all of this out here and sharing your heart. So thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you. And thank you for what you're doing. It's like I said, when I went through the first pregnancy, just I felt like all you saw were the things, how everything happened so quickly and people were recovering, and like you see the highlights from people's lives. So I try to make sure to share everything. And that's why platforms like yours are also so important, so that we feel like we are getting to see real life. We're getting to see normality as well, and not just the best parts, but getting to see the normal parts. Yeah. And that's what I figured out when I started sharing more of those things. I got stories from women that were experiencing the same, and I felt like I wasn't alone. And I think that's the most important thing. Like, social media can be poison, and I'm against so many things on social media. However, there are also some beautiful things that you get from social media. And that is feeling like you're not alone when you're going through some of these struggles.
Absolutely. We just got to keep putting out like, you know, like a variety of messages and sharing about how to train, what we can do, what we need to know, so that we can feel really informed and feel really supported and really just seen for who we are, even if our experiences differ, just feeling like there is that kind of support and validation.
Exactly.
Well, Annie, thank you so much for sharing your time. I appreciate you.
Likewise.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Practice Brave podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a review and help us spread the work we are doing to improve the overall information and messaging in the fitness industry and beyond. Now, if you are pregnant and you are looking for a trustworthy exercise program to follow, I have you covered. The Pregnant Athlete Training Program is a well-rounded program for pregnancy with workouts for each week that are appropriate for your changing body. That's 36 weeks of workouts, 3 to 4 workouts each week, and tons of guidance on exercise strategy. We also have an at-home version of that program. If you are postpartum and you're looking for an exercise program to follow, the 8-week Postpartum Athlete Training Program would be a really great way to help bridge the gap between rehab and the fitness you actually want to do. From there, we have the Practice Brave Fitness Program, which is an ongoing strength and conditioning program where you get new workouts each week and have a lot of guidance from myself and my co-coach, Heather Osby. This is the only way that I'm really offering ongoing coaching at this point in time. If you have ever considered becoming a certified pregnancy and postpartum athleticism coach, I would love to have you join us. Pregnancy and Postpartum Athleticism is a self-paced online certification course that will uplevel your coaching skills and help connect the dots between pelvic health and long-term athletic performance, especially during pregnancy and postpartum. Become who you needed and become who your online and local community needs by becoming a certified pregnancy and postpartum athleticism coach. Thank you again for listening to the Practice Brave podcast. I appreciate you. And please help me continue spreading this messaging, this information, and this work.